Oh, yeah, a little bit of Martha and the Vandellas. Remember them? Great song. Heat Wave. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We are having a heat wave down here in Florida, and probably where you are as well. It's been hot. It is Friday, July the 14th, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday. We have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us, and we are going to talk about a possible Democratic bill that would regulate the ethics of the Supreme Court justices, a move that he says shows how panicked Democrats are about the court's conservative tilt. That will be an interesting discussion. Stay tuned for it. And despite their best attempts, boy, oh boy, the Secret Service and the FBI just can't figure out where that pesky cocaine in the White House came from. I've got absolutely no idea. We just don't know. We've done everything. Oh, really? Well, we'll take a look ourselves. Maybe we can come up with the culprit. And top Democrats quietly prepping to replace Joe Biden as their presidential nominee next year. We will deep dive into that as well. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, Ed, you're going to like this one. The top 10 best NFL stadiums. I know that Ed will have a comment. Let's see if he can guess what's considered number one. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I'm telling you, been around a long time. Lots of haircuts. I've never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Great haircut. A great price, by the way. Why don't you call for your appointment? 727-733-3773. By the way, they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. And Arbor Life Tree Service. Someone else I've used. They are great. Whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal or stump grinding, anything to do with trees. They are the best. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service company. Call Arbor Life today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, Ed, you and I should go over to the White House and tell them, just give us about 35 or 40 minutes in the West Wing, and maybe we can figure out who brought in that white stuff.
Here's my thoughts on that. First of all, it makes the Secret Service look really bad. Your one job is to protect the president, and you're not doing that, as far as I'm concerned. Now, here's the other part. If this were a business, let's say we're making widgets or whatever, Paul Molloy's the head of it, and he's got 10 employees, and in the employees' locker room, only where employees are and no customers, a big bag of cocaine is found. And nobody fesses up to it. What is the next thing as a responsible owner would do? I would think that he would demand his employees take a drug test.
Yeah.
And find out, because you're going to tell me that whoever had the cocaine was smart enough to wipe the prints and stash it and then forget about it. Were you that person is that smart? Come on.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing.
Where is Joe Biden demanding his staff take a drug test? Is found that close in the White House?
The Secret Service says they have closed this investigation. They said they were not able to single out a person of interest because they said they had a lack of physical evidence. They got cameras all over the place. They got cameras of every single person that's come through there.
We don't know exactly where it was found, but I can say the only place a camera would not be is in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
Probably.
Okay.
But they came through, and then they apparently put it into some sort of a cubbyhole or something on the way in, this is where you check your stuff, and then later on when you come out, and maybe they left it there and they forgot it.
But how did they get it through the scanners?
You're asking me? I don't know how they
did everything
it.
Is scanned
crazy.
When you go in, just little pictures are going to the airport. Everything is scanned. Now, maybe maybe whoever it was smart enough to put it in a baby powder bottle. I don't know. But then you take it out of the bottle and you put it in a plastic bag and you just throw it on the floor?
They are trying to make it seem like somebody just kind of wandered in that they don't know who they are.
Happens all the time, Paul.
They just wander into the White House. Hey, let's go into the White House. We'll go into the West Wing here. By the way, throw your stash over in this cubbyhole, okay. And then we'll get it on
the way out.
How
about we do this? We find somebody, send them with a bag of cocaine into the White House and see how far they get.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you they don't get far.
The Secret Service said that it has been investigating how this item entered the White House, including a methodical review of security systems and protocols. Quote, this review included a backwards exam that spanned several days prior to the discovery of the substance and developed an index of several hundred individuals who may have accessed the area where the substance was found. It said investigators deployed, quote, a pool of known persons for comparison of forensic evidence gleaned from the FBI's analysis of the substance's packaging. Why don't they just go over to Hunter and say, Hunter, you dropped this on the way
in. We all know that.
And then if he grabs it, we know it's him.
I was going to say, I would follow Hunter and then throw some on the floor and then say, hey, Hunter, you dropped something. And see if he just picks up the white bag he puts in his pocket doesn't say anything.
I mean, if it had been the Trump White House, do you think they would have figured it out?
Oh, forget it. Oh, no.
You know, it's funny. They used both the FBI and the Secret Service. What if, like you said the other day, and others have said, what if it had been anthrax?
Right.
And do you think they would have found out who did it?
Once again,
the answer is they probably would have, right?
Yes. Once again, another incident to where our allies and our enemies are saying and laughing, what the hell is going on over there?
It's just, it's laughable. If they are that inept, then we are really in trouble. If they are that inept, we are really in trouble.
There is no way this could happen.
I mean, what if you dropped a, God forbid, and I shouldn't maybe even bring it up, but what if somebody came in with some sort of small nuclear device?
Well, that's what I was thinking. What if it was a weapon of some sort?
And then they couldn't figure out who dropped that in there?
Whoever this got by should be fired. If Joe Blow is in charge of scanning everybody.
Let's cut to the chase. They know who did it.
I know they know who did it.
And they're dancing around because this is one more cover-up of the Biden misdeeds.
Because if he's bringing cocaine into the White House, what else is he doing in there?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, my friend. We're going to take our break, and we'll change horses a little bit when we come back. Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us. We're going to talk about a campaign by Democrats to, let's call it, discredit Supreme Court justices.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Thank you for being with us here on a Friday, and delighted to have back Thomas Gipping, who is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And he has penned a piece in the Daily Signal called Dems Supreme Court Ethics Bill Really About Disapproval of Rulings. Thomas, welcome back to Freedom Works. Is he there?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Tom. Okay.
Hi. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. Thank you for being with us.
Sure.
So, introduced a little info about this piece that you wrote in the Daily Signal about the Democrats' portending possible ethics bill, which might really be about the disapproval of what they have been doing and their, I would say, conservative leanings. And you talk a little bit about this. You say that that there's a possibility that the Senate Judiciary Committee may vote next week on a bill that pretends to be about ethics, but might as well be called the Judiciary Know Your Place Act. Tell us a little bit about your thought on that.
Well, everyone knows that individual decisions by the Supreme Court brings cheers or jeers, depending on whether you like it or not. The truth is, though, even this past term, which the media want us to think was, you know, totally partisan and polarized and divided, the percentage of 5-4 decisions was actually higher than it's been in the recent past. But also unanimous decisions were higher than average. And so, what's the left supposed to do? Well, they're kind of doing what we used to do when we were all kids, and that is, if you're mad at somebody, you call them names and you whisper to other people about how dumb they are and, you know, stuff like that. And that's what's going on here. There's a campaign to undermine the legitimacy of the Supreme Court, to undermine people's confidence in the Supreme Court, and they're doing that by suggesting that decisions they don't like and the justices who are responsible for them must be corrupt, unethical, or partisan. And then they introduce legislation like the committee may consider next week to try to, I think it's probably called a hostile takeover of the Supreme Court.
Wow, yeah. Well, and like you say, recent rulings tend to, if one would look at it as, I guess, objectively as one could, I would think that a lot of people would say, well, the Supreme Court is trying to get the government out of a lot of things that maybe it shouldn't be involved in the first place. As an example, the student loan situation and pulling the authority of the president to just decide when you're going to cancel somebody's loan and when you're not, or the website freedom of speech situation. Why does the government have to tell somebody who they can work with and who they cannot work with and things like
I think you're right about that. Today we have a hard time distinguishing between what the law requires and what we want. Okay, so if the Supreme Court comes to a conclusion that the law requires a certain result in that case, even if we don't like it, it's the right decision, you know? And it's separating those two that's the real problem today. The left has a very political view of what judges are supposed to do. They're supposed to deliver the political goods. So if they don't, they've got to find some way to either pressure them into doing that or coercing them. And they're doing that through this campaign of ethics charges and claims, and Justice Alito went fishing with a billionaire and all this kind of stuff. The fact is, you got to look at each individual case and whether the court properly interpreted and applied the law. That's what matters.
Yeah, absolutely right. And everybody knows, they can see through the veneer of going after Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas. They don't give a damn about them going out.
Well, I hope so.
And doing a fishing trip with some. They don't care. What they care about is discrediting their being on the court, to be honest with you.
That is true, except I think, most people don't know what the inside rules and are about what judges are supposed to disclose, you know, financial matters and accusal and things like that. They don't know what those rules are. So if all the media tell you is that, oh, Justice Thomas went on vacation with a billionaire friend, and they just sort of leave that hanging, I think a lot of people over time, when they hear that over and over and over, begin to think that there's something corrupt, something underhanded going on there. And frankly, more than 60% of Americans think the Supreme Court decides cases based on politics rather than the law anyway.
You're right.
So it's a dangerous trend.
It is. We're talking with Thomas Gipping. He's the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center. I guess that's for Edwin Meese, Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. You know, Tom, the Supreme Court, in my humble opinion, might be our last bastion. If you take a look at the three branches of government, our last bastion hanging on by its fingertips to the Constitution.
Well, in our system of government, the judicial branch is different from the political branches. They decide cases based supposedly on objectively and impartially applying the law. Politics is in the other two branches, but law is supposed to be what governs in the judicial branch. And boy, we sure need it that way. If we don't, we have no protection in the end for our rights. So we should be resisting the politicizing of the judicial branch, and that's what this is really all about. They want to politically capture the third branch of government.
Indeed. Roe versus Wade. Now, there was, that was the linchpin, or let's say the unhinging of the linchpin of Roe versus Wade by this Supreme Court. This is what I think started all of this. Remanding the decisions back to the states, which is a totally, I would think, an act that totally follows what the intent of the Founding Fathers, which was the strength of states' rights versus the strength of a centralized government. Your thought?
I think that's right, but people ought to consider, Who owns the Constitution? Who does the Constitution belong to? What are the first three words? We the people. It belongs to us. Judges are supposed to follow the law. They're not supposed to change it and manipulate it. And it doesn't really matter what the subject matter is. Abortion is a divisive issue. But on any issue, the Supreme Court has no authority to take our Constitution away from us. And that's really what we ought to be focused on. I would encourage people not only to read your Constitution, it's one of the shortest in the world, but also the Supreme Court posts on its website, supremecourt.gov, opinions that explain its decision. Now, those can be somewhat complicated sometimes, but before you just read a headline and think, oh, well, that decision stinks because I don't like it, go to the opinion, go to the court's explanation. Read it. Try to understand it on its own terms. That's what you'd expect anyone to do with regard to something you said. And then think about it for yourself. Don't just get carried away by, a political cliche or some one-sided report on a news site. Read it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. That's a great idea. And you said if you wanted to go, where was it? What site do you go to?
Supremecourt.gov.
Supremecourt.gov.
There's a tab there for opinions. Go to the opinion, the case that you're interested in or that you might have heard about. They've got a summary with each opinion. And take a look. Take a look at why the court did.
That's a very good, very good idea. Back to the bill. This is Bill Senate Bill 359, formerly called the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act. And I guess Rhode Island Democrat Sheldon Whitehouse introduced the bill. Now, truthfully, it has no, or does it? Does it have any chance of getting through?
Oh no, of course not. It won't. It won't even be brought up in the House, and it'll be filibustered in the Senate.
I would think that would be the case. So, are they just trying to make good in front of their Democratic base?
Well, sure. I mean, like I said before, you know, if there's smoke, there must be fire. So they introduced a bill about Supreme Court ethics. Why would they do that if there wasn't an ethical problem at the Supreme Court? Well, there's two problems with the bill. Number one, because the Constitution created the Supreme Court, Congress didn't. Congress doesn't have any authority to require the Supreme Court to produce some kind of an ethics code. And the second problem is, under this bill, it would let any American file as many complaints as they want about anything that an individual justice did that they don't like, and every single one of those complaints has to be investigated by a group of judges. Can you imagine the chaos of, you know, once this bill, if this bill gets enacted, the left who pushed for the bill are going to have all of their minions ready to start filing hundreds of thousands of complaints about decisions they don't like.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, recent polls do show that the public apparently is losing faith even in the Supreme Court. They're losing faith in all branches of government. We have the lowest belief and backing of our government, I think, in the history of our country. This is how bad things have gotten. But even the Supreme Court is feeling the wrath. And do you think it's mainly because of our division on the Roe versus Wade decision?
I think it's bigger than that. I think, number one, the level of general ignorance about how any part of our government works is abysmal. Second, the judicial branch has always been something of a mystery, so that ignorance is really kind of ripe to be taken advantage of. And we live in an age today where, you know, everything seems to be political. Anything I don't like is somehow wrong. You know, if you don't share my opinion, you must be wrong rather than just incorrect. And you combine some of these things, and it's easy to, especially when your political agenda requires imposition by judges. I mean, that's what the left is after in the end. And that's not a good prescription. You combine those things, and our institutions generally, but especially the judiciary, is really under the gun.
I would also suggest that because we are no longer teaching civics in school as we used to, and I guess there's an attempt in some cases to bring civics back, there is a general ignorance about the functioning of our government and the Supreme Court.
Well, especially the Supreme Court. I mean, fewer than half of Americans even know how many branches of government there are. There are only three, and the judicial branch is the most mysterious. And so, again, like I said, people, read your Constitution. The better informed we are as citizens, the better we can evaluate what our government is doing.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Tom, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I really appreciate it. Keep up the good fight, and I look forward to our next discussion together.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Tom Jipping of the Heritage Foundation. Boy, we are so, I don't know, so ignorant of our government and our Constitution and what we are really supposed to be, you know? All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, top Democrats quietly prepping to replace Joe Biden as their presidential nominee next year. We are going to take a look.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tam Talk Radio Network.
Love the music that you play. It's always a joy. He comes up with all kinds of great. You know, he used to be he was a disc jockey, weren't you? Ed, over at New York, among other places.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. So you know your music. You sure do. So the bombastic John Kerry got in front of a committee yesterday, and he's our special presidential envoy for climate. Boy, I can't think of a better place and a better guy than John Kerry. Let him get in that private jet of his that his wife owns. I guess his wife is responsible for all his multi-millions, right? Which allows him to go around the country and talk about climate change.
He's not smart enough to do it.
Anyway, so during the hearing yesterday by the House Foreign Affairs Committee, having him in front of them, Republican Corey Mills, by the way, he's from Florida, he confronted Kerry about his past private jet use in light of the top administration officials' efforts to fight climate change. Kerry said that his purported use of a private jet is, quote, one of the most outrageously persistent lies that I hear, adding that he doesn't own a jet and has never personally owned a jet. What a sneak he is. You know what it is? It's his wife's jet. It's a Gulfstream GIVSP jet. It's owned by Kerry's family. He's made a total of 48 trips that lasted more than 60 hours and emitted an estimated 715,886 pounds or 325 metric tons of carbon over the course of Biden's administration so far. So there you go. Hey, guess who we have? And he's got his own jet, I think. Or is it a jet ski? We've got Andrew the Master Barber. Or maybe it's just one ski. Maybe it's a snow ski. Andrew, do you have a private jet?
No, Paul. All I have is my little Corvette, buddy.
Well, you know what? That's even more fun.
And I burn a lot less fuel than John Kerry does. But you know who his wife is, don't you?
Yeah, she's the Heinz heir.
She's the ketchup queen.
She's the ketchup queen.
That's right.
The guy's he's loaded in dough. He knows who to marry.
He did the right move because he couldn't have done it on his own, that's for sure.
You know, he was such a hypocrite. You know, he tossed his Vietnam medals over the White House fence, made a big to-do about it, right, in public. Did you?
He should have gave
them. You know, he went back and got them later when nobody was looking.
No, I was going to say, he should have gave them to Blumenthal.
You know what I would like to do?
Yes, in Blumenthal, you're right.
I think we should send somebody to all of these hypocrites that are worried about our climate. Send them to their homes. See how many of them have solar panels.
Right.
If you go, no, seriously, and if you go to a well-to-do neighborhood, even around here, the very well-to-do neighborhood, they're in Bel Air and places like that, go look at those homes. There are no solar panels there. None.
That's right.
You know why? Because they think they're ugly.
That's true, too.
So I bet you our people that are so worried about this planet don't have, and they drive regular cars.
And how close are all these wealthy people to the energy windmills that are floating around?
Yeah, right.
How close is Barbara Streisand and the like to those things?
I got a better one for you. You know Jesse Waters, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he set up somebody. There was a guy grilling out in his yard with his Biden T-shirt on. And he was out grilling in his yard, and Jesse happened to have two immigrants with him.
Oh, yes.
So he went up. Did you see that one?
I did.
I did not. Go ahead.
Yeah, he went up and interviewed the guy that was grilling, and he says, listen, I see you support Joe Biden. He says, how about helping these immigrants out? They don't have a place to stay. This guy was having heart failure. Well, they can't stay here. Yeah. Like the solar panels.
Yeah, well, when he asked him, he said, are you for this? He said, oh, I'm so for it. Those people need a place to stay. And the guy goes, okay, well, he holds up this plastic bag. He goes, here's Javier's medication. It's cool. Three times a day. And he's like, well, no. Well, I didn't say here.
So funny.
It's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing.
So,
and then,
go ahead. No, that's
okay,
all right.
You had FBI Ray on yesterday. And
Chris Ray.
I can't remember. I can't recall. What is with these people?
I think he should be called Slick. If I was on that panel, I'd say, Director Ray, do you mind if I call you Slick? Because you're dodging left and dodging right. You can't answer this, and you don't have the information on this. And this one is confidential. And I mean, he sat there, and you know, he's got that blank-eating grin on his face all the time, which drives me crazy.
You know,
it used to be if you couldn't do your job correctly, you were fired.
Yeah, this guy is like,
period.
He comes off like a complete a boob and incompetent, but he probably feels very self-satisfied that he didn't answer any questions directly.
Well, none of them do.
Yeah.
Every one of them has been interrogated. Not a thing.
Now, let me ask, speaking about Ray, Donald Trump put Ray into that spot after he fired James Comey, and everybody, and Ray was considered a conservative Republican, but do you think that Trump would fire Ray if he became president again?
He'd be gone in a second.
Well, I'm not so sure, because Trump has dodged that question. Did you know that?
Well, he can dodge it just because he doesn't want to let him know.
Boy, I would.
That'll make him come after him even more than they do.
Well, Ron DeSantis didn't dodge it. He said that was one of the first things he would do.
Hold on right there.
Okay.
Hold on right there.
Yes,
as
sir.
I told you the other day,
yes.
Sheriff Cronister in Hillsborough County, and I saw it again, he refuses to get involved with the immigration in Hillsborough County. He will not arrest any employers that hire illegals, and he will not bother illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Ron bat an eye over that in 2 weeks.
Well, he should be saying something about it, because...
Well, he's busy being in Iowa and being this,
well,
and not trying to be president, and he's forgetting about Florida, buddy.
Do you think... Let me ask you this. If you were on... and by the way, to the folks that are listening that don't know, Andrew is... a friend of the family. He has known the Biden family. He knows a great
Not
deal.
Not the Biden family.
Biden. What am I saying? Excuse me.
I don't want to know that.
I'm sorry.
Cut his phone
I'm
off
sounding
right
like
there.
Biden. I'm getting names mixed up. He has been a friend of the DeSantis family and knows them very, very well, because Ron DeSantis grew up in Dunedin. And Andrew makes no bones about the fact that he is a very big Donald Trump supporter. So, you know, I think he would feel a little bit, you know, one way and then a little bit another way. But he'd like to see Ron stay as governor of Florida, and he would like to see Donald Trump our president again, right?
You know, Paul, I got to speak the truth.
Yeah.
Is how I see it.
That's just the
way it is. I think Ron is making a big mistake. His polls are dumped in the trash. He's made a lot of mistakes. And I think he tried to jump in too early, and he'd be great. Let him stay the governor here, do your thing. Keep proving yourself. But right now, Sheriff Cronister is running around. You said one thing about Trump. Here you got one of your own people you aren't doing nothing about.
Yeah. How close is Ron DeSantis to Sheriff Cronister? Is he?
I have no idea.
I don't think they're buddies. I mean, is Cronister a Republican?
He's supposedly.
Okay.
but I believe he listens to his wife, who is the Bertolo.
Okay.
You know who the Bertolos are, right?
You mean DiBartolo?
You mean the DiBartolo,
yeah.
Yes. DiBartolo was involved with purchasing sports teams.
Well, he was the 49ers owner for
That's
a while.
That's right.
This is the guy, listen, this is the guy this that owns all the malls.
Yes, DiBartolo. Mm-hmm.
DiBartolo.
Yeah, DiBartolo. And you're
okay,
right. I remember
mega bucks.
The patriarch passed away, and now his sons are running around with the malls. But go ahead. Yes.
Right. Now, Cranister's married to one of them, and she tells him what to do. That's the only
okay.
reason. That's how this guy got elected. It was their money, but not his. Believe me, he's a little twerp.
Well, I was going to ask you this question. You may not decide that you want to answer it, but if you were on Ron DeSantis' presidential committee, or you had his ear in terms of what he's doing wrong, if anything, would you tell him, A, just say you've decided not to run, B, come up with a new game plan as to how you're going to present yourself, C, keep doing what you're doing because you got lots of time and all you have to do is, you know, the more people know you, the more you have a chance? Any of
well,
those?
Well, you know, Paul, what I would say, honestly?
Yeah.
I would say, you know, you were a Navy SEAL, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the first number one rule never to be broken of a Navy SEAL?
Do not hold your nose when going under the water. I don't know. What
Paul,
is it?
Loyalty, Paul.
Loyalty, right.
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
Number one of a Navy SEAL. Okay. I don't need to say anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And apparently Ron DeSantis has been disloyal. Now, if you think about, and I'm not, I'll vote for Donald Trump in a heartbeat if when he becomes the nominee. But a lot of people that used to be friends with Donald Trump, he doesn't seem to keep, let's put it this way, it's tough to stay with him on his team. It seems like everybody runs into some problem with him, and all of a sudden they're out the door.
Well, Paul, you know, before Donald Trump ran for president, look at all the blacks that loved Donald Trump. Don King, Al Sharpton.
Right.
He had all kinds of friends, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You know what kind of friends those are, Paul? Those are users.
Fair weather friends.
That's exactly what they are, and that's exactly what these people are that are doing this. They're not a friend.
Okay. But don't you admit that for some reason, even his own people that he hires around him, he seems to have an issue and they run into, you know, they run into things where all of a sudden they're on the outs with him.
Well, you know, I'd like to try and go work for the guy for a while to see how him and I would get along.
I think it would be tough. I mean it. I think he's very, I don't know what it is, but if you say something that is not what he agrees with, he sometimes takes it out on you.
Well, you know what? You got to be the same type of person with him. And apparently these people that aren't the same type, they're not strong people, Paul.
Okay.
These people are a bunch of weaklings that got where they were by kissing somebody's butt.
Yeah. Is there anybody,
they're weaklings.
Is there anybody you can think of that's still kind of in his corner that he had hired or whatever?
That he had hired? Well,
you know
I could
what I mean?
Tell you General Flynn.
Okay.
I could tell you, what's the other guy's name? I'm not too crazy. Roger Stone. I'm not too crazy about him, but he's still there.
Like any of the people that he hired for the Secretary of State or this or that?
Paul, you know, when he went in there, he went in as a businessman dealing
True.
With the politicians. He thought there were honest ones.
Yeah.
He made a mistake, and I was surprised. But he trusted people, and he never should have. He should have let me analyze these people first.
Okay, let me ask, who should he select as his vice presidential running mate? And you're not allowed to be it, so you have to take yourself
I would say one of two, either Tim Scott or the little woman there who was running for governor. What's Carrie Lake?
Oh, okay.
One of those two.
Well, I think they're both good. I think
That's
Tim
right.
Scott
they're
would
both
be a
great people.
I think Tim Scott would pick up a lot because he's an African-American conservative.
He's smart. He's very personable. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very
And
likeable.
You know what? You don't hear none of this racist crap from him, do you?
Oh, no.
Okay?
No, absolutely not.
And now they're trying to get rid of Biden. You know, I'm telling you, it's going to be one of the two Democrats. It's going to be Newsom or it's going to be Kennedy. And if the Democrats were smart, they would put Kennedy. But I'm not going to let them know that.
The only way that I was thinking about this the other day. The only way that's going to work out is if Biden steps down.
Well, he's been stepping down all the time.
Hold on. When you get close to the election, this happens in sports with athletes and stuff like that. They've decided they don't want to play anymore because they want to spend time with their family. So Biden can say, I'm not going to run because I'm at a point where I need to spend some time with my family because, and this is totally truth, he can say, a member of my family has a cocaine problem.
And he wants to spend time with him because
he's
going to
nurture him.
Everybody will go, okay.
And also, I've got a granddaughter that I've got to spend more time
with. I'd like to introduce
somewhere
to.
Down in, where is it? In Louisiana or something like that, right?
Well, you know, you got to be careful because the good Lord's going to be pulling his number pretty soon, so he don't have much time, I don't think.
That's what that's another thing.
Thing. Trump gets chastised for paying off a pole dancer, as they called it, and yet the Bidens are ignoring and not paying child support for a granddaughter.
Yeah.
Listen, Donald Trump could get caught peeing under a tree because he had to go real bad and they would indict him.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Oh, anything.
Okay? They are so afraid of him because they know he gets in, the swamp is done. You got to remember, it's not who the presidential candidate is, it's who fills the presidential candidate's pocket.
Well, it's always been that way. It's on every other job, too, below it. Most of them.
Yep.
This is going to be such an interesting race. It's just going to be such an interesting race. You know, in a year from now, what will that be? July of 24. So we'll be right in the midst.
Listen, it's like I told you. I don't think it's going to be that exciting of a race at all on the Republican side because if Donald Trump doesn't go to their debates in August, CNN's going to have more ratings than the Republican debates.
Yeah.
So if Donald Trump is there, the whole world will be watching.
Do you think Trump should go to those Republican debates?
I think he should be there in a minute.
Yeah. Do you think he will?
And I think he's going to be there.
Oh, okay, good.
I think he's going to be there.
Because if he doesn't, one of the things they're going to say is he didn't go because of his age.
Let me tell you about Donald Trump. Donald Trump could get elected president. They could try to put him in jail. And you know what? He'll run the country from jail and do a better job than these people are doing.
I agree with that. It is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Mr. Ceresi, to have you on. Thank you so very much.
All right, you guys. You have a good weekend.
And the same to you, my friend.
All right, buddy.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. There he goes. Andrew, the master barber. All right. Well, we didn't get around to talking about Joe Biden and whether or not some Dems want him out. But we'll do that in our next break. So we'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday, and we thank you for being with us. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Freedom Works comes to you, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And we hope you can listen in. But if you can't, thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are put on podcast. All you've got to do if you miss a show or you want to hear it again is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top. There's the podcast button. Click on it. It's got our most recent shows at the top, and you'll see who the guest is and our top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, according to CNN, in a report on CNN, a growing number of top Democrats and donors are reaching out to potential replacements for President Biden in the 24 presidential campaign. CNN's report, titled "Slow Pace of Biden's Reelection Campaign Feeds Democrats 2024 Anxiety," opened with a picture of the doubt that Biden's apparent campaign efforts have sown among the party. According to aides and others connected to these people, they feel that, quote, despite what he has said, despite the campaign that has been announced, Biden won't actually be running for reelection. So they're thinking he's just raising dust about but he's not really going to run.
You know, I thought about this. It's a package deal, too. If you let him run again, you've got Kamala again.
You do. Yeah. He's got to stay with her. They won't let him drop her. I mean, how would they get around dropping Kamala Harris? Because, you know, she's ineffectual. They can't. And that's an anchor on him, too. So what are they going to do? Do you think they're looking around? I think they are. I'm not surprised to hear this. Uncertainty about Biden's campaign has been an issue among Democrats for several months, in addition to low polling, some of which puts Biden as the loser in a campaign rematch against Trump. So I think they'd rather see somebody else, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think it's Kennedy either. I don't see them warming up to him at all.
I don't know that they are, because he seems to be an outsider. This Gavin Newsom guy. I know, but who else? Who else even comes to mind right now?
Yeah, you
know?
I think the list is very short.
All right. Okay, so I guess we get right to our top 10, my friend. And I think you'll like this one, Ed. These are the top 10 best NFL stadium. Now, this is according to New Arena. Mm-hmm. It puts out these things. I think New Arena uses responses from people that participate on the internet. So I don't know how accurate they are, but let's tell you who they think are the top 10 best NFL stadiums. Number 10, Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City Chiefs. Arrowhead, among the loudest, toughest places for opponents to play. For anybody who likes to watch football in the elements, alongside fans who are passionate, this is the place. Okay. Number 9, Lucas Oil Stadium. That's the Indianapolis Colts stadium. Isn't that a dome stadium?
It is.
Yeah. One of the most unique stadiums in the NFL, Lucas Oil is huge and offers a pleasant experience. The upper seats might be a tad high, but seating is plentiful and the atmosphere vibrant. Number 8, AirAssure Stadium, Pittsburgh Steelers.
They changed the name. It used to be Heinz Field.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. I wonder if John Kerry had anything to do with that one. Like its baseball neighbors, PNC Park, AirAssure Stadium, gets high marks for its location and view of downtown Pittsburgh. Number 7, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I like these names.
There's a few of them, actually. There's a few of them.
Are there? Well, guess where this one is.
New Orleans?
Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other one's in New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, the one in Atlanta, complete with a state-of-the-art 360-degree video screen.
Yeah.
Why watch the field when you got a video screen?
Yeah, it's up in the ceiling, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Number six. U.S. Bank Stadium, Minnesota Vikings. With just over $1 billion price tag, U.S. Bank is worth it. The stadium has everything for fans to enjoy, provides a tremendous home field advantage for the Vikings, and a daunting task for the opponents. Number five, AT&T Stadium, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought that would be number one.
Yeah, from the mammoth video screen that stretches nearly the entire field to the 80,000 seating capacity, it's just a sight to behold. Okay, number four. Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Allegiant is both imposing and beautiful, and the beauty exists inside as well. There's a 95-foot Al Davis Memorial Torch.
Mm-hmm.
That must be something.
Well, it is. It's a big, round, black stadium. Very shiny. They call it the Death Star.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Nicknamed the Death Star.
Okay, good point. Number three, Lumen Field. Seattle Seahawks. There might not be a bigger and certainly louder home field advantage for any team in the NFL than the one that downtown Lumen provides for the Seahawks. And I remember many plays when the other team is like on the 10-yard line going in.
Yeah.
Those fans, they can't hear yourself think.
Very loud.
Yeah. Number two, SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles for both the Rams and the Chargers. How much is this?
$5 billion, I think.
Yeah, $5 billion. What can $5 billion buy? One hell of a stadium. Between the translucent roof, party decks, numerous palm trees, and the enormous unmatched Oculus video board.
And it leaks.
Oh, God.
It leaks.
You're kidding.
No.
All right, Ed.
Oh, God.
I want to see if you have any idea what is the number one, according to this, best NFL stadium.
Let's go to San Francisco. That's a fairly new stadium.
Okay, we'll go to San Francisco, but we won't see the stadium there.
Right.
We have to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh,
well, Lambeau Field.
Yeah,
Lambeau Field. Lambeau,
I've been there.
So have I.
Yeah.
Lambeau is in the same company as Wrigley Field or Fenway Park. It's a bucket list destination that exudes sports history. Even with the extensive interior and exterior renovations and updates, Lambeau still has not lost any of its charm. All right. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.